So what's the point of the resurrection? Why did Jesus die and rise again? It's quite an important question. It underpins our faith. And it's not a particularly easy question to answer, as we might think. But today we get something of an answer in our gospel reading. Jesus does something that is quite extraordinary. He opens the minds of his disciples to understand the scriptures, everything that had been written about him. He helps them to understand the point of it all, why he died, why he rose again, and then what happens next. And he even sums it all up in a very short but quite important sentence, possibly one of the most important sentences in all of Luke's gospel. It's Jesus' own summary of what the gospel itself actually means. You might think of it as the John 3:16 of Luke's gospel, the whole thing summed up in a sentence. And this is what Jesus says, that it's written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And he tells them that they are to be the witnesses of these things. So first of all, Jesus says that the Messiah has to suffer, but then to rise from the dead. There's no other way of it happening. There's, of course, nothing that's particularly new here, but it is very important because it's the core of our faith as Christians that Jesus had to suffer and to die and to rise. He died for our sins, and because of that, he rose from the dead. And everything else is just enhancing that point. So as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. We believe he suffered and he died for us, a unique, unchangeable relationship. But fundamentally, we also believe then that Jesus rose from the dead. And all of these points are crucial. If Jesus is not the Messiah in the first place, then his death means absolutely nothing at all. If Jesus hadn't died, then there's no way that our sins could be forgiven. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then the hope that we have of eternal life will mean absolutely nothing at all. It's not just so important that Jesus was raised from the dead spiritually, but also that he was physically raised from the dead as well. He went on to walk about, to talk with his disciples, even to eat with them as well. And that's why he invites the disciples to touch him. It's why he ate a piece of broiled fish in their presence. He had to show them that he was physically raised from the dead. They had to overcome that barrier of doubt and actually see some physical proof that God's miracle had taken place. And that's important because it means that our resurrection will be physical. One day we'll be physically raised from the dead. Perhaps already in our bodies is the seed of eternity. Maybe we are carrying around eternity in our hearts already, and that's quite an amazing thought. But after our resurrection, our bodies will be changed, just like Jesus' body was changed. So if there's something that we can't do so well anymore, we don't need to worry. The body will be raised, and the body will be changed. And we will be changed, because that's what the bodily resurrection of Jesus actually means for us. But it's going to be so much more than that, because it also means, to put it really simply, that the world that we're currently living in really matters. It means that Jesus didn't just become flesh to help us to escape, say, from the confines of the world and go up to heaven. It means that the world matters, creation matters, and what we do with it also matters. So our lives matter. Our lives, each one of them, have meaning. We have to live in Jesus' presence right now. Or as the Psalms put it, we get to walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living, on this earth, in this lifetime, in this now. So the bodily resurrection means that our lives and our world matter so much to God. But it also means that our current life is not going to be the end. We'll be raised from the dead to live forever in the presence of God because Jesus suffered in the first place for our sins and was raised from the dead on the third day. So that's just the beginning of his summary of what that gospel really means. But he goes on to say something else that's key, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the name of Jesus to all the nations of the world, and that proclamation is going to begin from the city of Jerusalem. But that promise is not all about proclaiming that everything is going to be well, that we're going to be rich, that we're going to be happy. There's no promise that we're always going to enjoy perfect health or wonderful relationships. And it's certainly not a promise that means that we can get away with doing whatever we want or believe whatever we want. And it won't matter simply because Jesus has already died for us. That's a really pithy and unchristian way of looking at it. What it does promise, though, is the forgiveness of sins, but only through the name of Jesus. And so he invites us to repent, to believe, to overcome our doubts, to believe and to accept this. So even here, after his death and resurrection, Jesus is still talking to his disciples about sin and repentance, not just about forgiveness. But this isn't anything that's particularly complicated. It means that by receiving this message, by believing, accepting, and knowing that Jesus lived, loved, and died for us, means the forgiveness of our sins in his name. But of course, we've got to turn from whatever else it is that we're trying to put our hope in the first place. The things of this world, the stuff we can hold on to, the stuff that makes us often feel happy and secure. It requires that we've actually got to turn to Jesus. So repentance in this case means waking up from our sin, realizing that we need a savior, and we're going to have to turn from our sin, and we are going to have to turn to Jesus, because without Jesus, there will be nothing. When we do this, we are changed. We are changed in the same way as we will enjoy in that bodily resurrection. Completely changed, made new, made whole. Life is never the same when we start to let Jesus into our lives. Change will always take place because God is always working out that change in us. When we believe, when we truly accept that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, that then becomes so present in our lives that we end up being changed forever, completely new people, changed from the inside out. Nothing is the same anymore. And then it becomes clear that nothing in life is going to be as important as that relationship with Jesus. Everything else in life is simply a shadow in comparison to that wonderful relationship. So this is what Jesus is inviting us to, inviting us into that relationship when we choose to both repent and believe. And when we've done this, Jesus has got one more mission for us, the last part of his instruction that comes in his summary of that gospel. We're called to be witnesses of these things. That means we're not to keep it to ourselves. We are called to bear witness of the good news of the resurrection and just what that means. We're called to go forth, quite often outside of our places of comfort, and proclaim and live, share with the world, the simple message of the gospel. That Jesus suffered and died for our sins, but also for the sins of the world. And that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are invited to repent and believe this good news, that through Jesus our sins are forgiven. But of course, we weren't with the disciples, were we, on that first Easter evening? What must it have been like when they actually encountered for themselves the risen Jesus? How great would those doubts have been in their minds? Unlike them, we weren't blessed to be witnesses of those things in quite the same way, because we weren't there. We didn't get to see the risen Jesus, nor to touch him, nor to even see him eating with us. But we also weren't there to have him open our minds to the scriptures. But those first disciples didn't keep all that to themselves. They went on to share what they'd learned and become some of the greatest witnesses in human history. And what they learnt was eventually written down. So we have our Bible. And so we are blessed in the same way as they were, because we are invited to read those words, have our minds open too. We can read them, we can hear them. And then we're blessed to be invited to turn whatever away from whatever we're placing our ultimate hope and trust in, and to place our hope instead in the risen Jesus. But then we are invited to go and bear witness to those things, to proclaim that message, that simple, clear message, that Jesus died for all, was raised again for all, and that he will one day come again for all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.